Hey guys, this is Bass from Ballbenders Podcast. Due to the ongoing situation in Nigeria, we were not been able to publish the episode in time. As a member of the Ballbenders team, I give my utmost support to the peaceful protesters right now in Nigeria. Please keep them in your thoughts and prayers as they fight for their rights right now.
The fact that Aston Villa is the strongest defense in the league right now is just unreasonable. I feel like every team has an attacking power, but the defensive side is just not the same anymore. I don't know what's going on. Defenders are scoring right now more than they're defending, and this is actually crazy.
It's so crazy. Van Dijk out for the season. Anyways, guys, welcome back to Ballbenders, the place where we get all of the latest bit of football information, bend it and deliver it straight to your doorstep. My name is Mubarak and I'm doing this alongside my friend Basel Al-Hassani. How's it going, my man?
It's been going really good. It's been a very good start to the week. Of course, bar the Liverpool-Everton game, another topic that we have to discuss on the side. But yeah, it's been an amazing week so far. We're back to record again, and that's actually exciting. So yeah.
So Premier League action: Liverpool 2, Everton 2, Goodison Park. Major setback for Liverpool: Virgil van Dijk, anterior cruciate ligament damage. What a loss for Liverpool. We saw Gomez and Matip playing in the heart of defense, but then can they keep the momentum going for the rest of the season?
Before we delve into the Matip and Gomez topic, let's just talk about what happened in the Liverpool game even more. That game was madness. For me, I think it's a travesty to have all that refereeing decision in such a high-level league. If you take a second look at the decision that was made for Van Dijk, I've read somewhere on Twitter that even the guy who's in control of the VAR, he didn't even take a second look at the challenge from Pickford. He was so concentrated on proving that he was offside that he didn't even take a look at the challenge. They say that the Premier League is the best league in the world. It has all the big teams, all the big players, all the big coaches. But when you mess up such an important part of the game, when it comes to, in this instance, it's refereeing, then what's the point? What's the point of anything?
I feel like referees are supposed to be there to protect the players. If the VAR has come out to say, that's not a foul, that's not worthy of having a second look at, then I am worried, because that was potentially a career-ending injury, because Van Dijk is not getting any younger. He's 29. That could end his career. And for the referee
let's
to say,
not.
Let's hope not, of course, I hope not. But it is what it is, man. That could be a career-ending injury. And to think that Pickford has gone totally unpunished, that doesn't sit well. It's just crazy.
The whole game was a mess when it comes to refereeing. Personally, I actually really like Michael Oliver. Every time he's appointed as the referee for any Liverpool game, I actually feel excited about the game. But this time, I feel like VAR is actually making decisions instead of the referees, you know? So
I'm expecting the VAR guys to invite Michael Oliver to go see it on the screen.
The challenge was so hard on Van Dijk. Pickford just went on him like as if he's gonna kick him or something.
Do you feel like Pickford meant to injure Virgil van Dijk? Because Jamie Carragher has come out in defense. He said no professional player would intentionally hurt someone else, which I don't agree with. But do you agree?
Honestly, I'm not gonna say Pickford deliberately did that to Van Dijk. Maybe he did. I'm not going to say, oh yeah, he did, but I'm not going to talk about it. But the fact that the ones who are responsible for the safety of players are not actually giving a toss about what's going on, that's what really is pissing me off, you know? That game was a mess completely. Not only that challenge, even the last goal that should have won the game. How the hell was that offside? I've seen it 3, 4, 5 times. Every time I see it, I'm even in O of the pass that Thiago gave to Mane. I'm not even looking at the actual offside, you know, because the pass was so perfect, the goal was so perfect. I celebrated like hell. But then he's offside because of what? Of his sleeve? Is this for real? I mean,
I feel like VAR is killing the game. That's just it, to be honest.
I mean, right now you cannot even celebrate any goal because you'll have to wait and see. Oh, VAR is gonna check. Honestly, I was pro VAR when it first started, but now with everything that's going on, I'm totally against it, and I wanted to leave the game as soon as possible because the traditional way of refereeing was the best thing. I mean, yeah, it had its flaws, but actually it kept the game going, you know?
They're trying to make everything about the robots, and it really doesn't go well with a lot of people. There's a lot more controversy. Last episode, I said something about the Premier League trying to be in the news all the time. That's the only interpretation I can give, especially for the second goal. Okay, maybe Pickford was lucky with the first one, that first decision. But that second, that was a goal, bro. That was a goal.
I mean, that game was brilliant football by Liverpool, by the way. But we're not even talking about the performance because of all the controversy that's going on. I mean, the Premier League is like last season was a better season compared to what is going on right now. Nobody is actually talking about football. We're only talking about VAR, refereeing decisions. Usually, it's not important things. I mean, if you remember last time when we talked, I said I have to agree with you. I wasn't even sure about the Premier League wanted to create controversy every time, but now I'm 100% certain. It's too much.
It's crazy. Now let's talk about actual performance. Let's just forget all about the controversy. Shout out Everton. Yes, they did my team, but then man like Ancelotti been doing well this season. Dominic Calvert-Lewin, 10 goals this season already. James Rodriguez, he's just coming to the Premier League and fitting like fish to water, bro.
Yep, I have to agree. It's hard for me to say good things about Everton, but this season they've been really amazing. To be honest, the Everton team is really good. They've got everything covered in every department. Their goalkeeper is decent. I wouldn't say great, but he's good enough. Their defense is good enough. Their midfield is actually very strong. I mean, I was really impressed with the signing of Alan, of course, James Rodriguez and Abdoulaye Doucouré, and their striking option in both Calvert-Lewin and Richarlison. They've been impressive this season. I hope they don't continue to be as impressive, but if they manage at least top four, it would be a successful season for them.
Of course. Lastly, before we leave Liverpool, do you feel like Liverpool could win the league this season?
Honestly, if Alisson does not get back in time, then I
think he's going to be back at the end of the month.
Yeah, if he is back, then maybe, because I trust Matip to be a good defender, but I don't know about Gomez. I know he's still young, but losing Van Dijk has been a huge blow to our title chances. That's why I was really hoping that we could sign a fourth choice defender so that we would avoid such situation. But we could. I mean, the league right now, I mean, all the big teams are not really good except from maybe Spurs, but even Spurs they took a 3-0 lead and then they managed to draw. So Man City is not the same Man City. Chelsea is inconsistent. I don't see Everton or Aston Villa continue on their form, so we have a strong chance to actually retain our title.
You just mentioned Aston Villa. If I was Jurgen Klopp, I would have my eyes on that team because they're doing something great defensively. They've been keeping clean sheets. And I'm looking at Tyron Mings. He looks like a decent player. He looks like a player who could come in January and settle the ship a bit for Liverpool in the absence of Van Dijk.
Honestly, I would have to disagree with you. I have my eyes on a different player from a different league. Do you know a guy from Leipzig, Aubameyang?
Yeah,
we've already been linked with him. If you had watched him last season with Leipzig, he was immense in defense. He was really good. He was, for me, he was their best player of the season.
Sorry to interrupt. I hear what you say about Upamecano. He's a good player. I know that. Like he was linked with all the big clubs in around Europe last season. But this is a player who is coming in from the German league. We're talking about coming in January. That could be a bit of a gamble, and he's not going to come on the chip. If he comes into that Liverpool side, he might need some time to actually settle into the league. Different culture, different country. That might be a bit difficult. If he was coming in the summer, then that's a different kettle of fish entirely. But he's coming in at the center of the season for a Liverpool side that is obviously high on so much expectation right now. He comes into that side, everyone wants him to become a certain Virgil van Dijk.
Yeah. I think I've read somewhere that his release clause is close to £40 million or something. I mean, with the crazy prices that's going on, I think that's a fair price. He's still young. He's already a French international. He's great with his build up. He's good with his feet. He's also a leader. So I think he's not only a short term solution, but he's also a long term solution. You know, he can do both. You know, I would really love us to get him, but I'm not gonna have my hopes up. Let's see how it goes.
All right. Away from the Liverpool game, Chelsea actually thought they were running away with all 3 points, 2-0 in the first half. Just before halftime, Danny Ings scored on the score sheet, and in the second half, and the rest was history. 3-3 it ended, Kai Havertz also getting in with a goal. But then it was 3-3, Vestergaard scoring that dime-minute goal for Southampton. It looks like Chelsea cannot defend to save their lives right now. What the hell is happening to their defense? They've brought in Thiago Silva. He did not play in this game, but then Chelsea were caught napping in defense. It was a howler of a goal to concede, especially for the second one, which Che Adams converted. Did you see the game?
I actually watched the highlights. I was particularly impressed with Timo Werner. I was also happy that I had him in my FPL team, so he got me 2 goals. I'm quite content with that. But as we have said in the intro of the episode, the defending in the whole Premier League is not the same. It's not up to standard. The fact that Aston Villa has the most clean sheets speaks volumes. You know. For Chelsea, they spent a lot of money concentrating on their attack, when in fact they should concentrate on their defense. They're unlucky with the injury of Edward Mendy, because Kepa is just a mess. He's not good enough to be a Premier League player. I have no idea how they paid £80 million for him.
When Chelsea signed him, I was saying that he was a panic buy, and he's just turned out to be exactly what I thought he was.
Yeah, I have to agree. I mean, when it comes to, you know, transfers, I see only 3 good teams right now in the world that have really good dealings and negotiations, you know? Can you guess who are the 3?
Borussia Dortmund, Liverpool, and Everton.
Actually, you only got one right. So for me, I think the 3 best teams when it comes to getting new players and recruitment and all that, I think are Liverpool, Bayern Munich, and Juventus, with no organization. So
why Juventus?
Juventus, I'll tell you why. They buy players without paying so much. They win the league every season. The players they get are actually quality players, and they pay them like they pay for them for pennies, and sometimes they get them for free. So their dealings are smart. They don't spend just for the sake of spending, like Chelsea, City, Barcelona, you know?
Bro, I'm not going to agree Juventus's scouting system is better than Borussia Dortmund.
I'm not talking about scouting. So it's different. I'm talking about recruitment. So they sign the right players that they want, you know? Scouting is a different thing, because they build for the future and they sell them for a high price. That's what Dortmund does. Yeah, I agree with you. But I'm talking about recruitment and building for their current team. I think Juventus, Bayern Munich, and Liverpool are the best clubs when it comes to that.
Yeah, talking about Chelsea, they've had a slow start to the Premier League season. On paper, they're clearly one of the best squads in England right now, but I feel like Frank Lampard is faulty, and if he continues like this, like you said in the last episode, he just might get sacked. The only reason Frank Lampard is still manager of Chelsea is because of his pedigree, because of what he did for Chelsea as a football player.
That's true.
If he continues to not get results, then Abramovich would grow out of patience and eventually give him the sack, and that would be a lot of trouble for Chelsea, because you can imagine losing your manager in the middle of a season with so many players who are not very used to playing together. This week he's playing Tammy Abraham, next week he's playing Timo Werner. I feel like he's all over the place.
The reason why I said Frank Lampard is probably the first one to get the sack, because of the history of the Chelsea board on dealing with managers, because of his recklessness, his attitude towards other managers, his team selection sometimes. His teams are not consistent. Sometimes he plays Abraham, sometimes he plays Giroud, it doesn't make sense most of the time. He seems like he doesn't have a clue what he's doing, you know? I really like Lampard. I wish him to succeed. But what he's doing right now, he spent at least, 300 million? He's expected to have at least a decent start, but right now, it's not going in for him, you know?
Right now, there's not really so many top managers around. Even if they let go of Frank Lampard, they might have to pay a lot of money to get in a new manager. Let us know, where do you see Chelsea finishing at the end of the season? I have said Chelsea would not be in the top four. Basel thinks they would be in the top four. But what do you guys reckon? City against Arsenal, 1-0. I'm Sterling got on the score sheet. I feel like City are beginning to... they're beginning to show what they're made of. 5-2 against Leicester the other weekend. It seemed like a flash in the pan right now, because this is an Arsenal side as well assembled. And I really did expect it to be a low-scoring game, because obviously Pep and Mikel Arteta, they've worked together for a long time. It was like them two sizing each other up and seeing who would budge first. And it was City who got the goal, and they were able to sit on it and come up with a result. So if I was betting on this game before, I would have gone for a slim margin, and that's exactly what happened. But we saw a debut for Diaz. I felt he was quite comfortable for a player who's coming into a new team. But what did you make of Arsenal? What do you make of Arsenal? They've won the games they're supposed to win this season, but then Arsenal continue to go with that ugly record of failing to win away from home against top six teams.
Yeah, so I was actually with you on that. I expected a low scoring game. Mainly the reason behind it is because Arsenal recently has been very good defensively. Arteta has transformed them when it comes to how they defend and how they organize from the back. So it was as you said, a very close game, because both managers already know each other. But to a point, it was a dull game. Usually it's not the case, because it's usually a high-scoring game, but this one was a rare one, you know. But I was really excited to see Thomas Partey feature, even for only 5 minutes. But I think he's gonna take them to the next level.
Arsenal, they've got a decent team. I was quite excited by Bukayo Saka's performance. He made his debut for England during the international break. Went into that game and was Arsenal's best player. Almost got on the score sheet, but he was quite unlucky. But Arsenal, a lot of excitement coming for them. I think the situation right there at Arsenal is a lot different from what's going on at Chelsea. Chelsea have had to spend a lot of money recruiting new players, but it's a different thing for Arsenal. Yes, they brought in Thomas Partey for decent money, £45 million. For a player of that caliber, I feel like that's a bargain. And with all the young guns coming in, they've still got Aubameyang, which I feel like it was a very, very important piece of transfer business. He might not be scoring goals right now, but the fear factor he controls, the way his leadership, he's captain of the side, I feel like that's very, very important for Arsenal heading forward. If I was to make a bet between Arsenal and Chelsea, who would make top four, I have my money every day of the week on that Arsenal side.
Yeah, maybe. But going back to the Aubameyang situation, I think the fact that they already got him to sign a contract extension is actually a big thing in itself, because Arsenal used to be a selling team, you know? Every time they have a good player, they just sell him and he goes. We've seen that with Fabregas, we've seen that with Van Persie, we've seen that with Thierry Henry. The fact that they actually managed to to have a hold on with Aubameyang is speaks volumes. It means the club has the ambition to challenge and get back to their old days. And I'm really happy to see that, because I like Arsenal as a team. I think they bring much needed competition in the Premier League. I don't like them to be a mediocre side or whatever. I want them to challenge for top four. I want them to maybe challenge for the title, you know, because it will only be better for the league this way.
Sometimes I look at that Arsenal side and I kind of relate to how Arsenal fans feel, because they've been through a lot. Being a Liverpool fan growing up, it wasn't always rosy. So Arsenal fans listening to this, just keep the faith, man. Just keep going. Arsenal look very, very promising, especially with Mikel Arteta at the helm.
Yep, let's talk about the other game, Man United Newcastle. What did you make of this game? Personally, I think United have done more than enough to win the game. I've been particularly impressed with Fernandes. He was amazing. He carried the team, even though he penalty bad. I mean, his performance overall was really good.
Yeah, it was all about the reaction from the players. Having lost six goals to one against Tottenham Hotspur, that was a very, very poor performance. It was all about them reacting, and this is like the best way for them to have reacted. Going away from home, they started kind of shaky, scored an own goal, and I know my United fans would have really been worried. But it wasn't a game they should have been worried about, because it was an all-round top performance. Even Harry Maguire, who's been under the sticks for weeks now, he got a goal actually. Aaron Wan-Bissaka as well.
I was really happy for him, because he's been getting a lot of stick lately, and I can't imagine the pressure that he feels. He moved to Man United for a lot of money, £80 million, is already enough pressure. But to get all the stick, to get all the trauma and everything, and it's just too much. So for him to score a goal is really good, because it's going to lift his confidence and lift his spirits a little bit.
Aaron Wan-Bissaka has been under a lot of pressure. Everyone was putting a yardstick between him and Arnold. That argument was buzzing, and I'm sure he heard about it. He came into that United side with a pedigree, a fullback who could attack. But then it wasn't the case. He seems like he's a lot more comfortable when he defends. Meanwhile, while he was at Crystal Palace, he was making dribbles, completing crosses. But all of a sudden at Man United, he's unable to do all of those things. He's seemingly a better player defending than attacking.
From Crystal Palace for like £50 million, it all puts a lot of pressure on players, and people don't realize that. And coming back to the point you made about Arnold and Bissaka, I don't see them as comparable, even though they play in the different system. And their playing technique is different. For Arnold, he's more of an attacking-minded right back, but that's not the case when it comes to Bissaka. He's more defensive.
Well, Bissaka was at Crystal Palace. He was always attacking. He wasn't getting assists, but he was completing dribbles. Maybe it's the function of the manager not being a good coach, because these players actually do need coaching. Maybe if he had a better manager, then his game could have evolved. And that's why I keep saying that Man United's manager isn't the right man at all.
I agree. The moment Ole messes up again, just give him the sack and just appoint Pochettino in his place. It would take them to the next level, because that guy is a genius. He took Spurs to the Champions League. Imagine what he's going to do with Man United, with all the big names they have in their team.
Bro, I agree with you. Pochettino is a good manager, but I'm not gonna say he's a genius. Jose Mourinho, the way he's going, he's gonna win silverware at Tottenham. So that word genius, and I reserve it for the absolute best. I don't feel like Mauricio Pochettino, yes, he did well, he done well at Southampton before going to Tottenham. But in the end, he's not won any sort of silverware, so yeah. I'm not going to call him a genius.
Yeah, the only reason I said that is because he took Spurs to the Champions League final. Spurs of all teams. So for you to manage to do that, then yeah, you're a pretty good manager, you know. So just imagine if he has a bigger team in charge, he would probably do a lot more than that. And I wouldn't judge him of not winning trophy, because so far he didn't coach a team that's already used to winning trophies. Let's see if he's able to manage Man United. I think we're gonna see a different Pochettino. I'm a big admirer of the guy.
Maybe he might have had a chance of going to Barcelona, if not for what he said by himself. I'm sure you that he could never coach Barcelona, obviously because of his affiliations with Espanyol.
Yeah, but I don't think he's fit to coach in the Spanish league. For me, the Spanish league is dead right now. I think Pochettino is better suited to be in the Premier League. Let's see how it goes with Solskjaer. If he gets the sack, then I'm putting my money on Pochettino to be his replacement.
All right, Pochettino at Man United. Man United fans, let us know if you feel like that would be a great fit for your team. I can see a bit of positivity in that, but then I'm not sure the Glazers or Ed Woodward are that smart anyway, so we wait and see how it goes. West Ham United became the first team to be behind as late as the 81st minute, 3 goals behind. They became the first team to come back from a deficit like that. What a madness. While they made the substitution, Lanzini and Carrick Pio, I saw on Twitter some people were actually mocking West Ham, the fact that they were bringing on Lanzini. They felt like he was an inferior player to Gareth Bale, who did have a chance to make it 4-2 at some point, fluffed his lines, and then it was Manuel Lanzini. What a goal, man. What a horrible goal.
Yeah, an amazing goal.
Talking about Bale getting into that Tottenham Hotspur side, it seems like Tottenham could have one of the most feared front threes in world football, because Son Heung-min, great player, Harry Kane, we all know what he's capable of, and Gareth Bale, that seems like a world-class front three. But how do they compare to the best front threes in the league, the likes of Mane, Salah and Firmino, or even the likes of Bayern Munich, who have Leroy Sané, Lewandowski and Serge Gnabry this season? How do you see that in most sports side comparing to all those teams?
Yep. When it comes to the Premier League so far in the season, I think the trio of Spurs are the best. Even though we haven't seen much of Bale yet, but Son and Kane have been amazing, have been impressive. I mean, Kane is now acting like he's Fabregas, for fuck's sake. He's assisting goals every game. And Son is just a goal-scoring machine right now. So just imagine what would Bale bring to that fantastic partnership. He would take them to the next level. So far, I think they are the best try on the league. I mean, the only reason I'm saying this is because Firmino has not been the same as he is 2 years ago. So let's see how it goes for the season.
I feel like Tottenham could have a chance at winning the Premier League this season, honestly. The weak link in their team is actually the defense, because we saw how jittery they got. They could have held on and won that game. They absolutely outplayed West Ham for 80 minutes, but it was the defense switched off last 10 minutes, and that cost them.
Yeah, I agree when it comes to the defense. I actually agree, but if you look at the extent of all the Premier League team right now, their defensive capabilities are not the best. I mean, I still see them that as a title challengers this season. And if Liverpool does not co-op with Van Dijk absence, then probably Spurs. So let's talk about La Liga and Spain. Switch up the country a little bit. Both the Spanish giants lost their games against Cadiz and Getafe with the same scoreline, surprisingly. What do you make of that? Do you think the big two are about to suffer the worst season in 2020?
I was actually preparing to talk about Real Madrid, probably maybe because they did not sign players. Maybe that could have opened the door for Barcelona to win La Liga this season. But then Barcelona also went to Getafe have lost. But then I feel like Real Madrid should be more worried about losing, because Cadiz are just a new side in the league, for crying out loud. But Barcelona lost to a much better side. Getafe are well established in La Liga. Everyone who follows that league knows what Getafe are capable of. So it's not too much of an upset if you look at the context in terms of how well they've done in the league for the past few seasons. I feel like Real Madrid fans should be a lot more worried than Barcelona fans. That's just my take.
I have to agree. And to be fair, Real Madrid has also been affected by injury. They've lost Hazard as well.
Hazard has ever been a good player for Real Madrid since he signed. He's more or less been a flop.
Yeah, I agree. But do you know what's the best with Real Madrid? You would be surprised.
Oh, what's it?
It's Zidane himself. I think he has an ego issue. That's really apparent in his issue with Gareth Bale. If he doesn't like a player, then he's out of his team instantly. That's why he didn't trust James Rodriguez or Gareth Bale. I think this is the main issue with Real Madrid right now. If Real Madrid want to go to the next level, because right now Zidane has achieved everything with them. He has nothing else to give, you know? He already won the Champions League like three times in a row, the league, the Spanish league, Copa del Rey. I think he already won one. So for Real Madrid to move on and to get on with themselves, I think they need to change Zidane. For me, I think he has an ego issue. Do you agree with that?
Of course, I do agree. I'm sure he's looking at James Rodriguez do his thing in the Premier League and scratching his bald head right now. As good as Luka Modric is, he's not going to be on that level for... Yeah, he's aging, and it's clear for everyone to see. But Zidane, it's not just about Zidane, Real Madrid's problem right now. Yes, he has his problem, I agree. He has ego issues. But then Real Madrid need to recruit young players. They need to go over this team. This is a team that has won the Champions League back-to-back for three times. They've created history. They are huge idols in the history of Real Madrid, but they have to move on. They've brought in a young left-back. I feel like that's a very, very good signing. They're easing him into the system, trying to take out Marcel, who has been incredible for the past decade and a half for Real Madrid. They've not signed anyone in the summer, so we don't exactly know how to judge them. But time will tell for Real Madrid, man.
They got rid of three people, Reguilón, James Rodriguez, and Gareth Bale. And they didn't replace any of them. Anyways, let's talk about the Serie A. We'll talk about the big game, Internazionale and AC Milan.
All right, shout outs to Victor Osimhen and Simi Wanko, who scored in the weekend in Serie A and led their hands in obviously a very, very sad situation. I feel like that's something very, very important for them as sports stars, as football stars. It was very, very important for them to have lent their voices in support. We at Ballbenders, we do support the movement. When you're out there, please stay safe and don't vandalize any properties. Please just make your voices heard. It is your right to protest, but then do it peacefully.
Absolutely.
And that's just basically. Anyways, let's go talk about the big game, the Milan derby. Zlatan Ibrahimovic is 39 years old, bro. Hard to believe.
I mean, I, to be honest, I was one of the people who actually doubted that he would bring anything else, any improvement to the AC Milan team. But he proved me wrong, like every time he does. He always proves doubters wrong. My brother is actually an AC Milan fan, and he was crazy happy with how his team performed. And for them to win the derby again for the first time for more than 4 years now is actually a really good thing. And right now they're actually the top of the league. So with the way they're going, I actually see them as contenders for the title with everything that's going on. If they keep their momentum, if they keep their hunger, if they keep their passion, then yeah, why not? Because right now I desperately need to see a different winner in the Italian league. I've had enough with the Juventus winning the league every single year. It's too much. It's become boring right now. So I want someone new to win the league. And I would be very happy for AC Milan to do this, so, because it's actually the team I prefer in the Italian league. As for Internazionale, they've been really good last season. They made it to the Europa League final, they lost it, obviously, to the Europa League Kings, Sevilla. For them, they've been quite good last season, and this season they probably could challenge again for the title. But AC Milan has been amazing that game.
I just want to shout out to Zlatan Ibrahimovic, man. A few weeks back, he was out with COVID-19. He said COVID was playing the wrong game with the wrong person. But then he came back, scored two goals. That's how to be a beast, bro.
he's just a different beast. He's amazing. The commitment that he has, the desire that he has for the game is crazy. And to think that he's like 39 or something.
Yeah. When I'm 39, I want to be like Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Yeah, you wish.
Bro, he doesn't look 39. He's just raring to go, and I feel like he could play until he's 45. It's possible.
I wouldn't actually be surprised if he does that. We're talking about Zlatan after all, so it makes sense.
And he tweeted something very, very interesting. He said, "Milan doesn't have a kid, it has a god."
Well, I actually admire the guy, but sometimes he goes way too much. So when he says I'm a god, then I don't really agree with how he acts, because that's too much, you know.
That's kind of sensitive, I understand. Well, that's Latin for you.
Anyway, let's talk about Champions League finally. Let's talk about the three big games: PSG versus Man United, Ajax versus Liverpool, and Bayern Munich versus Atletico Madrid. Give me your thoughts about each game. What do you think about first the PSG and Man United game?
Edinson Cavani potentially would make his debut in that game. So that means Johnny Halu should pack his bags, come back to Lagos, because he's not going to get any game time right now for Man United. That's just a joke, by the way. But then Edinson Cavani, it's so interesting to see him get his first game playing against his former side right there at the Parc des Princes. He's going to be under a lot of pressure, and I'm sure he's going to enjoy this one. If he gets a goal for Manchester United, then he's on his way to having a great, great time right there with them. If he doesn't get a goal, if he gets a good performance, then that's very good. But if he gets a goal, I can't lie, I'll be very, very glad for him. But that Paris Saint-Germain side, I fear for them. They have a lot of stars, Neymar and Mbappe especially. A lot of people would expect them to go into this game and beat Manchester United, and especially because of Man United's form in the last few seasons in the Champions League. But the last time out, Man United actually did go to the Parc des Princes and got a result. I remember Marcus Rashford scoring a penalty in the dying minutes of that game. Man United would still have that at the back of their mind. They would still feel like they could go there and hurt Paris Saint-Germain. And I'm especially worried because Paris Saint-Germain actually, as much as people don't want to say the truth about the French league, it actually is still the famous league, because they play against average sides week in, week out, compared to a Manchester United side that has to compete with the likes of Liverpool, the likes of Manchester City. Premier League right now is a madness. Everyone is on top of their game, and I feel like the Premier League teams could benefit from that, starting from Manchester United tomorrow. And I wouldn't be surprised. Actually, today, the game is tonight. Maybe when you listen to this, the game could have been played already. But then this is a good chance for Man United to start their campaign in the Champions League on a high. And I'm going to go all out for United to get a result in this game.
Well, interesting thoughts. As for the Ajax and Liverpool game, it's been already confirmed that Virgil van Dijk is out for the season, but as for Thiago though, he's been considered as a doubt. I hope that he makes the squad, but I'm not gonna have my hopes up. I would like Liverpool to go to a great start. I would like us to dominate the group. It's a fairly decent group. I know Atlanta is a very good side, but Ajax is not the same Ajax as last season or the season before. So I think it should be a Liverpool win, an easy win, hopefully.
Okay, talking about the Bayern Munich game, champions of Europe right now, they start their campaign against, I feel like this might be a very tricky game for them, against Atletico Madrid. Atletico, we all know how they play. They would go there and try to frustrate Bayern Munich. But then if you have Lewandowski as your center forward, then you can expect him to get on the score sheet any day. All depends on how Bayern start this game. If they can mount the pressure, get the first goal, then they would unsettle this Atletico Madrid side. And not forgetting Luis Suarez, man, just signed for Atletico Madrid. Got a goal over the weekend in La Liga. He would be looking to continue on that fine vein of form in the Champions League. And why not? He would feel like he could win the Champions League right there at Atletico Madrid. So this makes for a very, very interesting game of football. But in the end, I feel like Bayern Munich being champions, having all of that pedigree and all of that confidence going for them, Hansi Flick has done a decent job for Bayern Munich. At some point, they were on the brink of not winning the Bundesliga, but they came back last season, overtook Borussia Dortmund in the race for the title. That's the domestic title, and then went on to win the Champions League. 8-2, they defeated the last Spanish side they played against, which was Barcelona. I don't see another 8-2 happening in this game, but then in the end, it will be very, very slim margins, or it might even end up in a score draw or something. But then I still feel like I'm tilting a bit towards Bayern Munich for all the qualities they have all around in that team.
Absolutely, my man. They won the triple last season, so of course I'll have to agree with you.
Any other games that you feel like could give us a bit of excitement?
Maybe Chelsea versus Sevilla. They are Europa League champions against Chelsea, who's a great side. So this would be probably an interesting game. Let's see how it goes.
All right, we will see how it goes in the Champions League. Basel, been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you, my man. Likewise.
All right, guys, we've come to the end of this episode. Do well to comment, subscribe, all of that good stuff. Tell your friends about the podcast. We'll be back next week with another episode. I've been Mubarak, and he's been Basel. Over and out.